All right, guys, on that note, I think we can wrap up Michael Jackson. I think it's a good time for me to start my show because it is 11 o'clock. So this is DJ PBR with News Power Hour at radio.dominican.edu. On air every Thursday from 11 to 12. That was a little bit of Michael Jackson for you. And that's actually one of my favorite songs. It's called Bad, for those of you who don't know. And just a little bit of tidbit of my past. It's actually a song that my mom, I wish I knew how many times she would play it for me. And actually my little cousins, who are now 12 and 10, know all of the lyrics to all of Michael Jackson songs and even some of the dance moves from the music videos. But anyway, time to start off the show, and I thought we would open up with one of the more serious topics and one of the heavier stories that I've heard about this past week. For those of you who may or may not have heard, there was another police officer-involved shooting, except this time it happened, I believe, in North Carolina, although I could be wrong. Let me see. I have it written down in my notes. Yeah, no, I was very close. It was actually South Carolina, not North Carolina. But anywho, unfortunately, another officer decided that he was going to use deadly force to subdue a person that he was trying to detain. I don't know if he was a suspect at that point or not, so I'm not going to call him a suspect. But the officer did try to go ahead and detain this man. And the man's name was, I believe, Walter Scott. And unfortunately, Scott was trying to run away from the officer. And what happened was the officer just went and started shooting at him. I believe he shot at him like over 5 times. And what caused controversy was the fact that, or not controversy, because it's really just a, more of a debate as to whether or not things in the system have changed. Because like I've mentioned in some previous shows, there have been a lot of officer involved shootings recently, or recent officer involved deaths, I should say, because there was one death that was conducted by choking a man. So that was actually the Eric Garner case, which took place in New York. Eric Garner was, again, an African-American man who was being choked out by a Caucasian officer for, I think it was because he was trying to allegedly sell cigarettes outside of a liquor store or something like that, which is illegal, but that's a whole other story. Anyways, this officer went ahead and, like I said, shot the other guy, which is Scott. And the thing that caused this to be handled so quickly, or at least that's what a lot of people are saying is what caused it to be handled so quickly, is the fact that there was a video that came out of the whole entire episode that Walter Scott had with this officer whose name is, oh gosh, what is his name now? I can't remember it. Anyways, so this officer, I think his last name was Slagger. Michael Slagger. That's what it was. Michael Slagger was the officer, and Walter Scott went ahead and ran away from him. And now what's being called, I mean, the family has referred to this witness as a hero because this witness took a video of the whole entire thing, and he got the tasing sound from Walter Scott being tased, or I think, I don't know if he was successfully tased or if the officer just shot the taser at him, but you could hear the taser going off. You saw Walter Scott running. You saw and heard the shots being fired. You saw him fall down. I mean, it's a very, very, very graphic video. And when I first saw it on the news stations were showing the video, no problem. But as the days progressed, the news stations have stopped showing the video. I think yesterday I was listening to, again, a news show, or I was watching a news show, and they went and showed that, like, oh, you know, they talked about it at all and they described it, but they said, you know, we've decided not to show the entire clip because it is very graphic, which I can totally understand. But at the same time, there's an element of truth that comes out with video. So I think that it kind of, I mean, I see what they're trying to do, but I honestly don't think that that's necessarily the right thing to do, because even the family wanted the video to go out. The family wanted people to see this. They wanted people to know what happened. And that's exactly what this video accomplishes, because you're seeing what happens. You're seeing that the guy is just running away. And you're only supposed to use deadly force if you feel like your life is in danger. Like you're in, someone is threatening you. You feel like your life is in danger. Something bad's going to happen. Like, you need to protect yourself with absolutely no regrets. Don't hold back at all. And that's not what this officer did. This officer wasn't in a life-threatening situation at all whatsoever. He was about to lose a suspect, but that's not a life-threatening situation, last time I checked. So basically, CBS News actually has a reporting on it. So if any of you guys are interested in seeing the video, if you Google CBS News North Charleston police officer shooting, you'll most likely get the information. It happened in North Charleston in South Carolina. It's the city. And actually, the most surprising thing I found was the fact that the North Charleston city or whatever it is only has about 100,000 people. So that was a little, I was like, oh, it's not even like, you know, a super big or a super small town. But the video did show, like I said, he was actually shot 8 times. I just found it again in my notes. I knew I wrote it down somewhere. But he was shot 8 times in the back while he was running away, which makes no sense to me. Like I said, I'm just, I know I'm kind of going in circles with this, but it's like so annoying and frustrating to see and hear all of these officer-involved shootings, because then these officers get these bad raps because there are so many good cops out there, but there's also, you know, with every good, there's bad. With every bad, there's good. That's how it's going to be in life. But I just really, I wish that police departments, like, would get themselves together. I mean, they really just need to focus on connecting with the community and making it an easier, better place to, like, survive in, because people know that they're supposed to call 911 when they're in trouble, and yet now they're starting to lose that trust because there's so many cops that are doing so many things that just look shady and they're bad and you just shouldn't be doing them. But anyway, so Yahoo News also reported on this story as well. And like I said, there are about 100,000 people in the town. Although another thing, in addition to the fact that there's about 100,000 people in it, nearly half of them are all African American. So they have a really big population of that same race. And one thing that I remember hearing about was the fact that people have been saying that North Charleston has still been very calm. There haven't been a lot of riots. And that was actually due to the fact that they were able to arrest the officer so quickly. So if you want to compare that to what happened to Ferguson, Ferguson didn't see that type of response. So there was a little bit more of an issue as to whether or not the police were handling it properly, because Ferguson was saying, the situation in Ferguson, they were like, you know, this is so wrong. Like, when are you going to change? When is there something that's going to be done for this? Like, this is not justice. And yet in this case, it didn't take a long time for the police department to make an arrest. The officer was actually arrested later on that day once the video came out. I mean, there was no denying it. So that's what a lot of speculation, or like what a lot of news people have been reporting on while I'm watching the segments on it, is the fact that thankfully South Carolina has not had a lot of riots and violence hasn't erupted in the same way that it had for Eric Garner or Trayvon Martin, or, you know, any of those cases that have been going on as well. But like in those cases, this is all prompting a lot of protest, positive protests, though, you know, peaceful protests, as, you know, Black Lives Matter. When is it going to stop? When will it be enough? You know, it's all about equality and seeing people as your equal, which I feel like this community doesn't feel like they're seen as an equal, because they keep losing so many people from their community. And it's like you're not getting the recognition. You're not being heard. You don't feel like you're being seen for what you are. And you're really a human being that should be treated equally as to everybody else and should have the same rights and shouldn't have to be scared of the cops or the authorities simply because of your race. And the man who actually took the video was named, I don't know how to say his first name. It's like Feedin or something. F-E-I-D-I-N, Feedin. Feedin Santana. And he is the man who recorded the video. And it was amazing because he even did an interview with NBC News. And he talked about how he had seen the victim, Walter Scott, who I don't think I mentioned. He was only 50 years old. This man had a long life ahead of him. He was 50. I mean, he's not as young as Trayvon Martin, who was a child, which was also just completely ugh. But he had a life to live. But moving along, Santana said that he gave the video to Scott's family because he thought that they should see what it was like. And it showed also in the video the little bit of a scuffle that had happened between Scott and Officer Michael Slager. And you can see Slager taking the aim with his handgun before, you know, shooting him. And it's just, Santana was just talking about how he felt that, you know what, this officer made a bad decision and this officer should have to pay for the decision that he made because, you know, Scott or Walter Scott didn't deserve to die that way, nor did he deserve to be victimized in such a way. So the North Charleston Police Chief, Eddie Driggers, had said at a news conference that he didn't know whether or not the officers had performed cardiopulmonary resuscitation on Scott. So they didn't know if he did CPR on him. But, you know, they didn't know that he had stopped the vehicle. But it was only, he only got stopped for a brake light. So he wasn't doing anything vicious or, you know, something that deserves to be like, oh my God, I need to be scared of this person. Really? Like, he got stopped for a broken brake light. And then he ended up dead. So, you know, in the video, you see Scott, you know, just face down on the grass, and you see Slager coming up behind him and putting him in handcuffs. And then he walks back to the spot where he opened fire. And then the video shows him appearing, like, it looks like he picks something up and goes back to Scott and then drops it next to him, but you don't really see what it is. And when the chief, Eddie Driggers, and the mayor of the town, it's actually, his name is Mayor Keith Summey, he's the mayor of North Charleston, when the police chief Diggers and Mayor Summey were asked about the object that was mysteriously placed near Walter Scott, they didn't actually comment on it. So they didn't, you know, they didn't answer any questions about that. And even though you see the officer pick something up and walk over there to the guy, you don't really know what it is. So yeah, that's about that. I mean, like I said, I'm just reporting on it because I feel like it's a really important topic, but things like this kind of tend to irritate me because, like I said, I feel like it's just a really big injustice and I don't think that people should be able to do that. So moving along from such a drown and dreary topic, I wanted to talk about something else, which I thought was really, really cool and interesting. Last week, I talked to you guys a little bit about Selena Quintanilla Perez, which was a singer. She was a Tejano music singer back in the 90s. She was really, really, really big, although she did pass away 20 years ago. She passed away in 1995. I believe her Yolanda, I can't remember her last name. It was Yolanda something. Yolanda was actually on Selena's team. Like, she was part of the group. She wasn't a singer or a part of the band member, but she was a part of, like, Selena's posse or entourage, if you want to call her that. And now, 20 years after Selena's death, it has been released, and now it's going viral, like literally all over the news, all over the internet, that there is going to be a Selena hologram. And for those of you who may or may not have heard, I think it was last year, maybe a couple years ago now, the years have tended to blend together, a couple years ago, Tupac made his appearance at Coachella. But it wasn't actually Tupac. It was Tupac's hologram performing alongside Snoop Dogg, which was really, really trippy. If you guys want to look up the video, you can go on YouTube.com, search Tupac at Coachella, and you'll actually be able to see the hologram video there. It was absolutely crazy. People were going insane over this Tupac hologram because, I mean, it's like he came back even though he didn't really come back. And now, turns out that they're doing the same thing for Selena. So some people are really like, ooh, yay. And some are just like, no. Like, that's just wrong. Some people really believe that, you know, she died, you should let her rest in peace, let her soul and her legacy just kind of relax and, like I said, be at peace versus trying to make a hologram and make profit off of it. Because not only are they making a hologram, they're actually going to go and have this hologram go on tour. Yeah, you heard me right. So the Selena hologram is going to go on tour and perform at concerts. So I'm just sitting here wondering, like, who's going to profit off of it since Selena's not alive? Like, is it going to be her family? Like, what drove them to do this? And more importantly, like, why her? Why not a bunch of other artists? There are tons of other artists that have passed away. And I'm just curious as to see, like, what, like, how do you go from a Tupac hologram to a Selena hologram? Because they're two totally different styles and two totally different types of people. But that's just my idea. And I guess the people that are working with her, they've made a website, and the website's called SelenaTheOne.com, and the project is actually project is actually titled Selena the One. So if you guys want to see more about that, you can go on Google, look it up. I'm going to go ahead and take a really quick break, and then I'll have a little bit more information about this Selena thing so I can elaborate on it a little more. And then I'll have more stories. So anyways, like I said, you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ PBR. Hang tight. That I'm chasing in memory, but it's fading. When it's gone, I'll be waiting. Knowing it's too late. Chose the road that I'm walking. Now it's the soul that I'm calling. Enjoy not hearing when I'm calling. Calling your name. One breath, one step, one life, one heart, two words, two eyes. You're beginning to start. Guys, welcome back. This is DJ PBR with News Power Hour on every Thursday from 11 to 12. Right before our break, we were talking about this crazy, new, creepy/weird, according to some people, hologram that's going to be coming out of Selena, which is a singer from the 90s who was unfortunately murdered back in 1995 by one of her entourage people. So, like I was saying, they're talking about making a hologram, but in addition to the hologram that they're going to be making of her, they're actually going to be releasing new songs. So that's kind of interesting, seeing as that Well, like I mentioned last week in my show, I've always been a very, very big Selena fan. I grew up listening to her music. I was, I believe, 4 years old when she passed away, but I still know all the lyrics. I still know all the songs, and they still make me want to dance like crazy. And her songs are actually the first ones I learned how to dance to. So she's always been very, very close to my heart, especially when it comes to like memories of me and my grandma and my grandpa and whatnot. And although I feel like she is, you know, passed away and she should rest in peace, at the same time, I'm also kind of excited to hear new songs because, like I said, I've always been a really big fan, and I feel like anything she did, she probably did an amazing job at it. So I found that to be the most exciting part of this whole entire bit of information, rather than the hologram itself. I mean, that's really cool too, but just the fact that they're talking about releasing new songs, I thought that was even more exciting than anything. And Billboard actually talked, the company Billboard, talked to the singer's sister, whose name is Suzette Quintanilla, and she was the one who confirmed the project, and she described it as being a walking, talking, singing, and dancing digital embodiment of Selena herself. And she also went on to say that by no means is this something that's creepy or weird. And this is like while she was talking. She goes on to be like, We think it's something amazing. A lot of the new fans that did not get to experience what Selena was about, hopefully will be able to get a sense of her with this new technology that's going to be coming out. So I do agree. I mean, technology has come really, really far, and it is very cool, but I don't know about the whole hologram thing. I'm so torn about it. Like, part of me wants to say, yeah, oh my God, I'm so excited, that's so cool. And then the other part of me wants to be like, no, that's just kind of wrong. Because someone is going to be profiting off of that. That's what I'm just very curious about as to who's profiting. And the company that's actually in charge of the project and behind the whole entire tech aspect of it is called Acrovert LLC. And, you know, their goal to have this whole thing completed, according to Suzette Quintanilla, according to her, they want to have this project done by 2017 or 2018. So I guess we'll have to wait a couple years to see what it's going to be like, but, you know, kind of looking forward to the new music, like I said. And what I thought was cool was the fact that they announced it on, you know, right after the 20th anniversary of her death. And that's kind of like a big one. I mean, every anniversary is an important anniversary, but, you know, 10, 15, 20, those kind of dates kind of stick out to me personally. So that's what I thought was really cool. And they actually announced it before Fiesta de la Flor Festival, which is held each year in her honor in Corpus Christi, Texas. So every year in Corpus Christi, Texas, which is where Selena is from, there is a party, I guess. Fiesta means party in Spanish. Fiesta de la Flor Festival. And that's when they announced it. So that was really cool. And what else? Moving along to, like, to keep the theme with music and artists and music. Not too long ago, I'm sure, hopefully, many of you have heard by now that there was a roast. And guess who was the star of the roast? The one and only Justin Bieber. That was pretty entertaining, if I do say so myself. I watched it, and I could not stop laughing. Personally, I think Martha Stewart's segment was by far the best one out of all of them, just because she poked a lot of fun at herself while making fun of Justin. So, I mean, I just thought her jokes were really clever and funny. But what I didn't like was once news came out that Justin was going to be the person being roasted, slowly but surely, when people had already done the recordings for the show, news was released that there had been jokes made about Paul Walker's death. That did not sit well with me. I heard about it and I was like, God, I really hope that we don't see this. And at the same time, I wish that we did see it so that I knew exactly what was being spoken about. But Comedy Central did make the decision to cut that part of the show out. So we didn't see any Paul Walker jokes while we were watching the show. But now, I think just yesterday or the day before, Ludacris came. I think he was on a radio station show or something like that. Yeah, he was actually at a radio show, and they had asked him about it. And Ludacris, you know, just blatantly said he wanted to slap the heck out of somebody. Oh, he didn't use the word heck. But he said, I wanted to slap the heck out of somebody, you know, over the Paul Walker jokes. Because as many of you would know, and hopefully have seen many of the movies, Paul Walker and Ludacris were a part of the Fast and Furious franchise together. Unfortunately, until Paul Walker passed away from a really, really bad car accident. But yeah, Ludacris was not happy about the jokes that were being said. At one point, the person who had done the jokes, and this is what I found out from reading the article, was Jeffrey Ross. Before that, I had no idea who was the person that had said the jokes, although I'm not surprised that it's Jeffrey Ross because he is one of the more regular people that does the roasts. And he always tends to be really, really cutthroat and on the edge. I mean, really, he's sometimes just teeter-tottering on that line as to what's okay and what's totally not okay. And this time, unfortunately, he crossed the line. And I don't, like I said, I don't blame Ludacris. Everybody knows that. They were really close, and the whole entire team that had worked together with Paul Walker for Fast and Furious took the death very, very, very hard. It was just talked about worldwide. And one of the jokes was that Jeffrey Ross had made a comment as to one of the songs by Ludacris called Move. I can't say the word, but I'm sure you guys can try to Google it. And many of you hopefully would have heard what the song is. But he was saying, oh, move, get out the way. And then he followed up with saying, someone should have told the tree that Paul Walker's car, or someone should have told that to the tree that Paul Walker's car crashed into. I totally butchered that, but that's also because I don't think it's funny. So he was just talking about how, like, oh, like, the tree should have moved when Paul Walker was driving. Like, no, that's so wrong. Why would you talk about somebody that's dead? Why would you talk about it at a time like this? Because the movie just came out. People are flooding the movie theaters. I mean, it was the number one movie when it was released. It made records. It made worldwide news. It was internationally a hit. And, again, I'm not surprised because the Fast and Furious franchise is a very, very big and successful one. And like I said, Ludacris was just saying, you know, he was quoted and he said, there were some Paul Walker jokes that were in the roast that I was definitely not feeling at all. And I was kind of vocal about it. And I almost didn't make it through the roast because I was ready to slap the hell out of somebody. But I was a good sport. And I'm not sure if you're allowed to say that, but I'm pretty sure you are. And at least, you know, what I liked was at least he was a good sport about it. And he understood that, like, even though this one person, or actually he said it wasn't just Jeffrey Ross, he said that Jeff Ross was one of them, but he said it was more than one person. But I went up to all of them and said, these jokes don't need to make it in. And he said, let me just say this. Aside from Paul Walker jokes, I thought it was a great roast. Nobody was safe. We were all laughing at the jokes on ourselves and joking on everybody else. However, you can all agree to disagree with me. I know that what was said, and I know I felt it was inappropriate, and I'm going to stand by that no matter what anybody says to me. That was my friend. I don't give a if it was a roast or not. That was my friend. And I have to say, you know what? Ludacris, well said, because it was your friend. And if it was my friend who that was being said about, I would be equally as upset because you just don't joke about tragic events like that. Especially at a time like this when the movie's coming out again and it's getting a lot of people very emotional. I actually went to go and see it last Friday. And I won't lie, I cried at the very end of it. Although I didn't cry because of the fact that, you know, he was dead, although that does make me very sad too, because I grew up watching Paul Walker, and I mean, I loved him ever since I was little. But what made me really sad was the fact that I noticed how much they've aged, which made me realize how much I've aged, because the movie came out in 2000. The first movie, I believe, came out in 2001, I want to say. Some ridiculous time like that. And it was before I was a teenager. And I've been watching the movies ever since, and I'm 23 years old right now. So that's really interesting and really cool. And I just was thinking, like, dang, like, if you guys have seen the video that Wiz Khalifa put on, which is, like, the song for the movie, and it's actually the song that they play at the end of the movie, I'm sure many of you have already seen it online because it has literally gone completely viral. Oh, God, they have, like, a montage of, like, bits and pieces from, like, prior movies, and it's just really crazy to look at, like, wow, like, so much time has passed, so many things have changed, like, not just within the show itself, but, or its show, not within the movie itself, but also, like, me as a viewer, as somebody who's watched the movies from beginning to end, every single one of them, most of the time I watched them all in theaters. It's just really makes me sad. But, you know, if you haven't gone to see it, I highly recommend that you go and watch the movie. It's really, really, really good. Some people are kind of disputing the fact that it's not all about racing anymore, which is true. I'm not going to lie. It's not about racing. And I think that's how they were able to make it so successful, because it's not about the racing. Fast and Furious went from being a show about, why do I keep saying that? It went from being a movie about racing and about this cop who was going undercover and all this stuff. And it turned into this story about how this group of friends grew up with one another, went on all these crazy adventures with one another, and formed a bond that you could considerably argue might be stronger than a family's. Because, I mean, everybody knows you don't have to like your family. They're your family. But you have to know that, I mean, they made this decision to be friends and stay together and stay bonded. And that's something that you get to see throughout the whole entire thing, which is really, really, really cool. And I personally think that that's what makes the movies so good and so successful, is because even though the story changes throughout every single movie, the heart of it stays the same. It's about the bond that these people have with one another and how good of a friends they are. And at the end of the day, we all want to have friendships like that. I mean, you can say that you don't want, and that you don't want them and that you don't care, but in reality, as human beings, we want that type of bond. So that's what I was thinking. It's really good. And they have really, really nice cars in it too. So I highly recommend it. With that being said, we're going to take another quick little break. So hang tight, listen to some good music for a little bit. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu with DJ PBR, News Power Hour, every Thursdays from 11 to 12. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
every blessing. I'm on my knees confessing that I feel myself surrender each time I see your face. I'm staggered by your beauty, your unassuming grace, and I feel
guys, welcome back. This is DJ PBR with News Power Hour on every Thursday from 11 to 12. That was a little intense. Jeez, that was actually a song by Josh Groban called, I think, My Confession. Is that what it is? Yeah, My Confession. So that was pretty intense. Wasn't really planning on that song to come up, but that's okay. Hope you guys enjoyed just a little bit of a break from my voice. But breaking news, I actually was just updating the news app that I have on my phone, and I thought this would be kind of important to let you guys know about. There was a huge PG&E pipeline blast back in 2010, I believe it was, in San Bruno. I don't know if any of you guys would remember about it by now, but, or, you know, after so much time has passed, it has been 5 years, but it was this really, really, really big explosion that caused tons of damage. And guess what? They have decided to fine PG&E $1.6 billion. Yeah, billion with a B, not an M, a B. $1.6 billion for the pipeline blast. So why can I not talk today? I have absolutely no idea. I have like, geez, what's wrong with me? Just took a sip of water, so hopefully that helps a little bit. Anyways, so what happened today was, and actually happened in San Francisco, California Public Utilities Commission voted today to penalize Pacific Gas and Electric, PG&E, $1.6 billion for the deadly 2010 gas pipeline explosion. The commission voted 4-0 on the penalty proposed last month by Commission President Michael Picker. And the fine is $200 million higher than one recommended by administrative law judges last year for PG&E, and it is the state's largest power utility. So, I mean, they're very, very, very lucrative in terms of the funds that they have. I'm assuming if they are the state's largest power utility, and we all use power. Picker's proposal would actually require PG&E shareholders to pay $850 million that would go towards gas transmission safety improvements, and it also orders PG&E to pay $300 million in fines that would go into the state's general fund, and it mandates the utility pay $400 million in bill credit, and on top of that, it directs approximately $50 million toward other remedies. So they have a lot of different money going in a lot of different places, and you know, federal investigators actually faulted both PG&E and Lax Overnight by the Utilities Commission in the 2010 explosion, which killed 8 people in the San Francisco suburb of San Bruno. So, like I said, it was a really, really bad explosion. There was a lot of damage, and there were 8 people who actually died from this. So that's actually kind of cool. I mean, not the deaths. That's totally not cool. But it's kind of cool that they're going to get fined and they're going to have to pay for this because there's really no reason that it should have happened. PG&E has said that it wants a penalty that is reasonable and proportionate. and that takes into account the utility's past spending to improve safety. And that was actually what utility spokesman Greg Snapper had said in a statement on Tuesday. So a couple days ago, that's what this guy said. I don't know if he's going to think $1.6 million is reasonable and proportionate, but I guess we're going to have to wait and see, because like I said, this is literally a breaking news story. It just got posted literally like 24 minutes ago or something like that. So hopefully we'll have more information about that by the end of today, although you wouldn't be able to hear it from me since I won't be here all day, but you can, you know, watch the news or something, and they'll be able to inform me, I hope. In addition to that, I also thought it was really, really cool that, guess what? Starbucks is actually going to pay for its employees to go to college. Hold the phone. Really? Like, right when I'm about to be done with school, I find out that there's a job that would pay for me to go to school? Okay. I mean, would have been nice to know that a little bit ahead of time. But that was actually something that E! Reported on. I know. That's kind of surprising. I wouldn't have thought that E! Would give me valuable information like this. But E! Online did go and release an article on Tuesday this past week about Starbucks, saying that Starbucks is going to pay for all its employees to go to college. So they just kind of stepped it up big time. So they announced on Tuesday that it will allow every single employee to attend 4 years of college and graduate completely debt-free. So in other words, the company is promising to shell out a huge amount of money, which would actually be about $250 million. Yeah, $250 million is what Starbucks is planning on putting towards this. And it's not the first move that Starbucks has made towards providing education opportunities for the people that work for it, but it is definitely the most dramatic step that they've taken towards helping their employees become educated and, you know, go to school if that's what they choose to do. The details of the program aren't that complicated. So all full-time or part-time Starbucks employees can apply for and attend specific schools. So they can apply for and attend Arizona State University's online degree program completely on the company's dime. So of course, you know, they're not going to go there, but they have the opportunity to go to the school online. And Starbucks originally had offered tuition reimbursement for college juniors and seniors, but today's announcement blows the original program out of the water. So like I said previously, they had been doing stuff to help the people go to school. They were reimbursing college students, juniors and seniors, for the money that they had spent in college, but now they're doing one better. They are actually going to be going and paying for their people to go to college for 4 years. So that I think is super, super cool. And according to the spokesperson, Starbucks hopes to help at least 25,000 people graduate by 2025. So it's 2025 is 10 years from now, which is crazy to me that in 10 years from now, I'll be in my 30s. I'll be over my 30s. Oh my God. Let's not dwell on that. But by 2025, they are hoping to get at least 25,000 people, which I think is so, so, so cool. The employees will be required to stay working for the coffee chain while they're going to school. So, you know, they can't get them to pay and then quit Starbucks. They have to work at Starbucks while they're going to school. So whether the program can have as much success as predicted remains to be seen. So, I mean, I literally had that written in my notes. That's just because since they just started the program, this is what they're hoping to accomplish. And this is like the goal numbers that they're going for, but they don't know if this will really be able to happen yet. So we're going to have to play it by ear. Either way though, I'm just really excited that this company decided to help its employees educate themselves and, you know, get through school, because as many of you know, college is not cheap and it's only been getting more and more expensive. I mean, back when my grandparents were in school, they could afford to pay for college for 4 years and then get a job, and with the wage that they were getting from that job, pay off their college loans within a couple years. And that, unfortunately, is not the case anymore. Now it's way, 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 way more intense. You know, it takes years to get out of the debt. And if you want to go to like graduate school, you better make sure that you're getting a nice, nice paycheck when you graduate, because that's going to be, again, super, super, super expensive. But aside from that, another story as far as kind of weird and like what? Although this was a good weird. This high school girl was sent home for her outfit. and the picture has been going viral all over the internet. And if you look at the picture, I mean, obviously you guys can't see it, so I'm going to have to describe it for you. It's really nothing crazy. She's wearing like capri leggings with a long tunic shirt. So a tunic is a shirt that literally goes past your butt. It's kind of like a, it's in between a shirt and a dress. It's just a really long shirt. And there is absolutely nothing, nothing inappropriate about what this girl is wearing. But she was sent home because it was deemed inappropriate because people might look at her too much. So instead of, you know, assuming that men should control their eyes and watch where their eyes wander and not sexualize women, this girl was, you know, instead of that, she was meant to feel ashamed of the fact that she just wore simple capri leggings and a long shirt. And she's a very, and she's a small, slender girl. She's in high school. She's, I don't know, she must be like a freshman or a sophomore or something. She looks very, very young. And her older sister was actually the one who posted something online about it. And her sister's post is the one that went viral. And she was just like, you know, saying, how are you going to go and send somebody home for the outfit? That's basically saying that their clothing is more important than their education. Which, I mean, I guess I could, I do agree with. How are you going to send somebody home? Like, you're taking away their opportunity to learn because of something that they're wearing. And if this girl had her cleavage hanging out or her butt hanging out or, you know, something like that, something just deemed really inappropriate and provocative for somebody her age. And even, mind you, even if you're a full adult, you grown adult, you shouldn't have your boobs and your butt hanging out. But that's just my opinion. She was just a young girl and she looked lovely. She didn't look sexual in any way. And the fact that there were grown adults sexualizing this little girl, saying that her outfit was deemed inappropriate, is just absolutely ridiculous. And I think it shows that people should really focus on explaining how not to sexualize women. But enough of that. That was just my little spiel on that. Something else that I thought was really cool, and it has nothing to do with news here in our country, but it is, you know, news. PBS actually reported that in the Netherlands, they have a program that allows Dutch nursing home, well, it allows Dutch students to live in a nursing home rent-free. So I thought that was really cool. I was like, wait, what? I couldn't believe it. Basically, this nursing home in the Netherlands allows the students that go to college to live rent-free alongside, you know, the older residents, because it is a nursing home, as part of a project aimed at warding off the negative effects of aging. So the whole reason that they have this program is in place is to kind of, like I said, ward off the negative effects of aging. They want to make sure that when you're either you're aging, you're not feeling bad about it. And I think it's also to promote mutual respect between a younger generation and an older generation, because although I myself have worked with many, many older people for extended periods of time, I do know people my age that can't handle working with older people for extended periods of time just because their patience is just so short and quick that they don't want to have to deal with explaining new technology or new systems or new programs to people that are older than us. It does take patience, but like I said, I've grown accustomed to it, so it doesn't really affect me in any way. And moving along, in exchange for the small rent-free apartments that they get to live in, the retirement home is actually called Humanitas Retirement Home. I think that's how you say it. It's in Deventer, Netherlands. I cannot say any of those words, but it's in the Netherlands, and it's called Humanitas Retirement Home. And they require the students, all they have to do to live there rent-free is spend at least 30 hours a month acting as good neighbors, quote unquote, is what they said. And I was like, wait, what? So literally all these students have to do is spend 30 hours with these senior citizens a month and act nicely and do things that are nice. And officials at the nursing home say that students who do a variety of things, you know, they don't have to just do one thing. They can, you know, watch sports together. They can celebrate birthdays. You know, if they get sick, they can go and help them and, you know, take care of them a little bit if they choose to. But it really helps everybody feel very bonded and connected and like a little community. And there's a lot of social isolation and loneliness in older men and women that can sometimes be associated with whether or not they will die sooner, just because you end up getting sadder and you're not as happy and happy-go-lucky. I mean, you don't see as much joy in things because so many things around you are changing, and you kind of sometimes can feel like you're fading away with the times as well. So the students bring a lot of the outside world into the nursing home itself because they are so young and they are so vibrant and like uppity. So that I thought was really, really cool. And right now, I guess there are approximately 160 seniors, and there are 6 students from the area universities, Saxion and Windsheim. They share the building with those seniors, which is pretty cool. And they're allowed to come and go. I mean, they don't have to, you know, follow any rules or anything. The only thing that they have to do is just not bother and be a nuisance to the senior citizens that are living there. And the program had been started about 2 years ago after one of the people that runs the program. I'm not going to even attempt to say the name because there's no way I can say that name. It's totally, totally not my language. But the person that was running it said that they received inquiry from Ono Selbach, which was a student who complained about the noise and poor conditions of their school housing. And they had responded and began to talk to design the exchange program. So when one student complained about the noise in their dorms, that's actually how this whole idea formed, which I just think it's really nice. Like I said, I've worked with people who don't like to work with elderly people, and I just think it's really, really, really cool that they have this program in place. And to go along with the theme of colleges and stuff, really, really, really impressive news. This past week, and maybe last week a little bit towards the end, news came out about the 17-year-old boy who has been accepted to all 8 Ivy League schools. He was born in Nigeria, and when he was 8, he actually came to the United States. So his name is Harold Eki. Again, I cannot say that last name. I butcher people's names clearly. But his name is Harold Eki, and he is currently a senior at Elmont Memorial High School. And I think that's in Elmont, New York. So he's from New York. And he decided that he was going to apply to 13 colleges, 8 of which were the Ivy League schools, just because he wanted to increase his chances of hopefully getting into at least one. But he never expected that he would get into all. Yeah. I'm so jealous. That's so, so, so cool. And like, congratulations to him. He said that he was really, really stunned and shocked about the whole thing because, like I said, he didn't expect to get into all of them. He was just hoping to make it into at least one. So as of this announcement, he's been accepted to Princeton. And Yale, Brown University, Columbia, Cornell, Dartmouth, Harvard, and University of Pennsylvania. Yeah, and he had other acceptances that were from John Hopkins University, which I want to say is known for their English program, but I'm not 100% positive. Do not quote me on that. I'm not saying that that's exactly what they're known for, but I swear I think that's what I've heard. He also got into Massachusetts Institute of Technology, New York University, Stony Brook University, and Vanderbilt. Yeah, wow. I'm just like, if I had all those decisions, I don't even know what I would do. But I would definitely be very excited and proud of myself for accomplishing so much at such a young age. I mean, there are people that go to community colleges and struggle to get themselves transferred to an Ivy League. And this kid just did it right out of high school. I mean, wow. He has actually a 100.51 grade point average. And he has said that he wants to be a neurosurgeon. And he said that he was actually leaning towards Yale, but you know, they're not quite sure. But he has to decide by May 1st, so maybe we'll see an update of his story in the news when it gets to be closer to that date, because I'd be very interested to actually hear about, you know, whether or not he's going to be going to Yale or if he decided to go somewhere else. Another story that I thought was kind of interesting, but like a good story and very happy, was yesterday I was going through my phone looking online at different news articles and different news websites, and there had been a story that was published earlier in the day about a man or woman, somebody had stolen this couple's car. This woman actually has ALS, which is also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. It's basically, I guess the best way to describe it is your muscles turn to jello. Like, you can't lift anything, you can't walk, you eventually can't talk, you can't swallow, like your muscles and your nerves literally just start to give out. Like, you cannot control your body anymore. You kind of just become a vegetable, but your brain is totally fine. And this couple had actually made modifications to the van that they owned for the wife who has ALS, and it was stolen. And then, I kid you not, after, you know, maybe 5-6 hours, I go online again, and a story had been updated saying that the van had been found. They had posted it online hoping that whoever saw it would hopefully see the van in an area and be able to call the cops. And within a couple hours, somebody had seen the article online. Then they saw the van outside and like in the public, and they called the cops immediately, and they were able to get the van back to the owner. So I thought that was really, really, really cool. Super, super like feel good story. And I was just really happy that, like I said, Lou Gehrig's disease is just a terrible, terrible disease. My grandma actually had it, and she ended up passing away from that back in 2010, I want to say. Something like that. It was, not 2010, way before that, 2007. There we go. I don't know why I said 2010. But anyway, it's a really, really terrible disease. So one thing that I thought of when I first read it was, I was really, really mad, because it's like, how are you going to take something from somebody, first off, because it's not yours? And then how are you going to go and take something from someone who clearly desperately needs it? Like, they made modifications to their car to fit his wife's needs, and it was just taken away from them from their driveway, which is very, very upsetting. So I'm really glad that they found the car, and I'm hoping that they're able to prosecute the people that took it, because that was not cool. And it happened in Fremont too, so it was within our area. And you always hear about like random stories like throughout the whole Bay Area about like bad stuff that's going on. So this is a nice one to hear and know that it ended good. And what else? There was, oh gosh, you will not believe. There was this girl. She's 14 years old, and she is now being charged with the stabbing death of her mother. Yeah, her and her boyfriend, they actually killed her mother. That was a pretty bad story. It was really intense. I read it, and the girl's only 14 years old. Her boyfriend was like 20, and I guess her mom didn't want her dating him because it was just, you know, oh, he's too old, you shouldn't be dating him. And there were actually text messages exchanged between her and her boyfriend, who, believe it or not, is, I believe, in the Navy or the Marines. Gosh, I can't remember what exactly he's part of some army thing like that. I'm not quite sure whether he's in the Army, the Marines, the Navy, what it is, but he was actually on leave for the week or weekend when this happened. He was visiting, and she and him, or he and she, whatever you want to call it, decided that they were going to go ahead and stab her. They stabbed the mother to death. They were going to try to bury her. A neighbor ended up seeing, you know, the car, and like went to go look at stuff that looked kind of suspicious and fishy, because they had walked away from the, basically they loaded the woman into the car, they drove the car somewhere, a neighbor saw, and they had already gotten out of the car. The neighbor went to go look at the car and saw a bunch of like, oh god, I don't even want to mention it, but he saw a bunch of blood and blood spatters, and it looked like there had been a struggle. So the neighbor ended up calling the cops, and that's how they got caught. The girl at one point, even, they had been texting back and forth, her and her boyfriend, and she had told her boyfriend, oh, you know, just tell her that you're 16 and a half and that you just said that you were 20 years old because you get really nervous because, you know, when you're in the Marines or whatever it is that he's a part of, people make fun of you for your age, so you always just say that you're older. So basically, this is just a case of, you know, this girl obviously didn't comprehend what the consequences of her actions were going to be, because this news report reported that she's been crying and she's been very, very upset and just distraught about the whole thing. But you know what? At the end of the day, you have to live with what you do. You have to live with the consequences of your actions, and you have to think about what it is that you're doing before you do it, because sometimes your actions can't be taken back. Just like this case, her mother is now dead and she can't take that back. So with that being said, I am now done with my show. It is now 12 o'clock, so I'm here every Thursday from 11 to 12. This is News Power Hour with DJ PBR. Thank you for listening, and I hope you guys stay tuned. I think there's going to be more shows later on. Next week, we'll probably have some more happy news, hopefully. But keep in mind, news is news. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Unfortunately, this week we had some heavy, heavy stuff going on. But Hopefully next week will be better. That's really all we can hope for. Like I said, you're listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ PBR. Hang tight and listen to some good tunes. And if you want to catch me next week, I will be here again next week, same time, Thursday, 11 to 12, News Power Hour. Have a good weekend, everybody, and stay safe and make good decisions.